Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
Hey, it's Dr. Lisa, and it's time for Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit. I give a shit. I really do. Hey, thanks for listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. It is the best radio station in the Western Hemisphere. I've checked all of them. And, you know, everything. You know what I wanted to tell you? So I have the news on it. You know, I have MSNBC in the background while I'm working, right? And I was thinking about, what am I going to talk about? What am I going to mention that I care about today? And I realized when I was leaving to come here that I had a feeling of patriotism, which I haven't really experienced in a long, long time. And I think that's because our legal system is working in spite of what's going on out there. And I haven't seen that demonstrated so clearly before, I think. And it actually made me feel proud to be an American, which is so weird for me. But anyway, so I have a monster couple on today. Monster, is that the right word? I don't know. Okay, so I'm just gonna tell you this. So I have this is so corny. I don't know how to say this. World renowned photographer Spencer Tunick and Christy Bowler. They're a couple, and Spencer and Christy, for the most part, have traveled around the world and shot large landscapes of naked people for how long?
20 years.
20 years. And also, Spencer, you were really also on the front lines with the city about nudity in the 90s, right? Didn't you? You got arrested, right?
Yeah, I was arrested five times in New York.
Uh-huh.
From 94 to 1989.
Right, and so you actually had something to do with changing our laws a bit, right?
Yeah, the DA's office used to use my work as an example on how to arrest artists using the body in public space.
See, there you go. One of the things, okay, so here's the thing. Here's my countertransference. I've known these guys for a long time, probably almost 20 years, over 15. I don't even remember how long. And this is so weird for me because these are the most, Spencer's clearly the most famous artist I've had on this show. And I'm really shy about it, and I would never ask him to be on this show because I'm just too, like, self-conscious of how famous he is.
I tell my daughters that I'm not famous, so I'm telling you I'm not famous.
Okay.
I tell them I'm well-known, and so they get the picture.
Okay, but here's the thing. I would never ask you to be on the show because I would feel like I was exploiting my friendship for you because you're so well-known. But you offered to be on the show, and I'm just really grateful that you guys are here today. I really am, and it means a lot to me personally.
Well,
that's
we're
all
happy
I'm
to
gonna
be here,
say.
Lisa.
And I love you guys so much.
We're happy to be here. It's
Thanks.
So nice to be here.
And can I say
you're an amazing artist.
Say you brought your beautiful girls, and they're in the other room.
Yes,
say that?
Yes. They don't understand why you're interviewing us. We're that important.
I'm sure. Well, you know what? I just read, I'm just going to say this. Let me digress for a second. I just finished audiobooking Bruce Springsteen's biography, and his daughter made so much fun of him for dancing in that video, Dancing in the Dark.
Yeah.
So I think kids keep you perspective. I don't think you need humility because I think you are both very humble people, but
no,
they do keep you. They do give you perspective.
That's absolutely what's going on.
So
with us.
Seda is 13 and Isla is 11.
Yeah, Isla.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Isla. Mm-hmm. Is that how you spell it, though? Isla?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. And they are adorable. They seem really different from each other, right? Are they?
It's very different. Isla is more introspective, I would think, and a little bit has a better control of the English language, like Kristen does, besides for me. And Seda maybe is a better artist as far as drawing is concerned. And she's great at basketball.
I don't know. They're both coming into their own. Their personalities are in flux. We'll see how it all plays out. Right now, they're in the formation. They're still developing and forming.
Seda, this is my impression of Seda, and we know I don't know anything, or I have no formal training.
But this is my impression.
My first impression of Seda, and full disclosure, this family was just so generous by coming out here last fall to see a show I did and at Stout Projects and blah blah blah. So I did spend a little more time with them. Besides just today. So Seda to me seems more like a little rebellious. She reminds me of the, Michael Fox character, and, you know, like where she's like kind of like trying to like get like make up her own mind, even though she's with a crazy, way too liberal, open-minded, no boundary family. Like, I'm going to have boundaries if I want to.
That's exactly right.
Is she like that?
It's like that's what she's going to have to do to be rebellious. She's going to have to be just much more. In fact, we were just having lunch and she was like, okay, I think it's time to go. You don't want to be late. You know, she's very much like, this is how things are done. You don't act crazy in public. You are very, she's going to have.
Do you think she's a little embarrassed of you guys sometimes?
Definitely a little. She's always totally embarrassed of us.
When her, a few years ago, she would take little Post-its, the sticky part, and make little rips out of the Post-its and cover up Kristen's nude paintings.
Oh yeah, she's censoring our art in our house.
But specifically covering the nipple and and the private part.
But at the same time, she's super proud of it. I mean, it's weird. It's like she's totally embarrassed, but she's proud of us also. I mean, she's really proud that her dad's an artist and that's what he does.
We live in Rockland County, not in Nyack, but in more so to west in Suffern, and it's a very working community, and there's not too many artists, and sometimes it feels like living in, you know, Mississippi, and even though it's 40 minutes outside of New York, and so I think it's a very they have a lot of friends who are a little bit more conservative, so. We don't really flaunt our works. I keep all my works out of the house.
Really?
Just so we don't confront their friends with naked mayhem.
Well, also, let me tell you, folks, Spencer has this most beautiful studio right by his house. So it's a great place. I mean, I love seeing your work there. I remember being moved by it. Yeah. So there is like a good place to see the work there. But yes.
Yeah.
I can see how that's considerate.
No naked people in the house.
But teenagers are going to be embarrassed of their parents no matter what. Like were conservative and we are in some ways.
Well,
but
we're changing now. I mean, they're 11 and 13. But that was like 3 years ago. But
so do they invite their friends over? Are you a house that?
Okay, I'm going to answer this because it's always something like, you guys, I want to be the mom with the house where everyone comes in and feels comfortable. And I cultivate that.
I could totally see that.
But they are very, let's say, particular about who they think is cool that can be mature enough. They say, so-and-so is not mature enough to deal with this. But there's no art. None of Spencer's work is up. But Spencer's work isn't provocative anyway, in my mind. But in theirs, of course, in a 12 or 13. They just want to fit in. That's their whole thing.
Right.
But
right.
They're picky about like, oh, well, okay, this friend is mature enough to deal with my parents who are artists, whatever.
Oh, so they're self-conscious about having certain people over?
Yeah, for sure.
Do they ever go into the studio? You know, they would see your work, Spencer? Do you ever take them in?
Not so much. And when I just made a work up in Norway, and afterwards, you know, it's a feeling of great accomplishment for myself, my crew, the participants, and I tell Chrissy about it. But they're not too concerned. They
don't care. Yeah,
they're just doing their thing.
Yeah, they're into themselves right now.
Yeah. So now the younger one seems, this is my impression, okay, for what it's worth. The younger one seems a little confused in the sense that she sees, and like I said, I don't know anything, but she sort of wants to, you know, go along with her older sister, who's a little rebellious. But then there's part of the artsy, crazy, wacky, boundaryless thing mm-hmm. that she sort of identifies with, and she's a little bit caught in the middle. Does yeah. that make sense?
Yes. She's super quirky in her personality and really funny. And Isla has always been amazing at talking. Like I always say she came out of the womb speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And she's so articulate. And she can hold her own with any adult.
Mm-hmm.
And she's very poised.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and then there's a part of her now that's going to like seeing Seda and how Seda's always being like kind of pushing us away. And yeah, she's right in the middle.
It's confusing for her. And,
yeah.
I mean, it'll work out. It'll work out great.
It's all so awkward right now. It's just a big awkward soup.
Oh, it is. It must be awkward. It must be awkward, right?
Every second is just working through it and just getting to the next moment. And one moment we're all laughing as a family and it's great. And then the next moment we're fighting. Our family is so expressive and so out there. There's nobody's holding anything back. Mm-hmm. I wish we would a little bit, but it's just a constant roller coaster.
Mm. Sounds like fun.
It's gray and awful.
Sounds crazy. It sounds, is there yelling? Is there yelling?
Oh, yeah. There's yelling and laughing. And
that's great.
I guess it is what it is. I mean, trying to just do the best we can with who we are. But
well, you know, I mean, as far as my my fake profession, you know, therapy, I mean, the more damage, the better. So
yeah, that's great.
But you know what? They seem really happy.
Awesome.
They do. They seem like, I mean, to be real about it, I mean, they're living in fairly complex environment. No, I mean, in a wonderful environment, in an environment that's going to make them be bigger thinkers, I imagine, or have huge experiences. But as children, to integrate all that,
I don't know. We've had it such a very stable. They've never had to move. It's all been very much.
It's more about you guys because I have to say, I mean, let me tell you folks, I've been to these guys' homes. They have a beautiful home. It is so fucking normal. Like when I go there and I'm in the kitchen, I'm like, look at all this food. The dishes match all this stuff. I mean, it's a really normal home. And I'm, you know, So yeah, they probably do have a really normal home.
Yeah, when I met Cindy Sherman, we were invited to her home, and she was just really normal, you know. And I was like, I want to be normal like Cindy Sherman, but my work to be quite odd.
Yeah,
so the more odd the artist, sometimes the more normal the backstory is.
I know, and I always talk
at least
about
in our
that
circles
to Spencer. When I'm describing our life. And I'm always the one that says, let's take a jump. Let's take a risk. Let's go live in Mexico for a year. And Spencer, I always say, Spencer is so conservative.
Right.
And I'm telling people this, and they're looking at me like with their mouth on the floor. Like, what? How is he conservative?
No.
But he's got like very stable ideas of how things should be. And
that makes
so the
a
girls
lot of
have
sense
had that experience. And
I try to stabilize myself. And then destabilize for maybe 3 weeks out of the year.
Right.
And when I destabilize, I totally go off.
Like what?
Off balance. Well, I just do things.
Emotionally?
No, ideas. I think.
Ideas with my work. And I'm able to sort of scream in short spurts.
Oh, you mean when you go on your, when you work, when you're working, that's what you mean. Then you're really like, you're in, like, it's like you're in the moment and you're doing whatever it is, but it's in a very, I'm going to say disciplined and structured environment, because there's no way. This is what I want you guys. I always picture my listeners like in a basement somewhere, like watching TV on unemployment. I don't know why, because that's probably, I'm just projecting myself onto them. But the thing is that what I do want you guys, you listeners, to know is that in order to make work that's really I'm going to say extreme or expressive or free or anything, meaningful, you do have to be disciplined and have a lot of structure, because if you don't, you're never fucking going to get anything done. Do you hear me?
No, it's true. It's the work. It's getting up and doing the work. And even though nothing's there, you mm-hmm. have to get up and do something. Just do one little baby step towards what you want.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've seen Spencer, I've seen you guys in action. I mean, when you get to a situation where you have to take a photograph really quickly, and because people are going to be naked, you know, I mean, this is how it works. You go to this, Spencer, they get everybody at the site in place, and then they take their clothes off, and then they run back into position, right?
Well, I always, this is how I deal with my recent way I work as far as the immediacy of it and creating it in a stressful environment. I always think as if there's a New York City police officer behind me trying to arrest me, and I have to make good work as quickly as possible to not get arrested. But how that relates to today is people and organizations and museums are often wanting me to do works in colder and colder weather.
Right.
And I know that people can only take so much cold, and so I use that energy of the arrest to work quickly when there's no arrest.
Fascinating. That's so interesting. You know, I want to ask you one more question about your kids before we move on, or about your family. So about this is what I want to ask you. So in your town, which is a fairly working class, lovely town, mm-hmm. nice people, right? No bullshit.
No, really nice people.
Nice people, no bullshit. town, are they like okay about having their kids come over? Are they freaked out by your work?
To be honest with you,
we don't know.
I have no idea.
We're surrounded. Our house is surrounded by three churches on either side of us, and across the street is the police station. And so we've surrounded ourselves with sort of the opposition in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But
we're super good friends with the police chief. I mean, he's really nice.
Sure. And
I mean, yeah, it's not like
when I first moved in, there were some really bad storms coming in, and some of that on the radar, some of that was a circular formation and could have been tornado. So I'm the only one that called him to say, can we come into the police station if we feel there's a tornado coming closer?
That's nice.
This is in New York, 40 minutes out of the city. So she said, no problem, Spence. Come in anytime you want. Tornado, no tornado. So.
Well, you guys are great and accepting and charming. I mean, I can't imagine.
Yeah,
say
that.
But, like, you don't go to, like, a PTA meeting and
no.
have people look at you weird? Did you ever have somebody not want to come to your, like, they didn't want your kid, their parents? This is what I'm wondering about.
Yeah.
Your friends, your kids' friends' parents.
I always have the feeling that I'm an outsider there. But I don't really know why.
Because you're weird.
And maybe I am, but I don't feel weird. And I guess because, I mean, I grew up in Ohio. I came to New York.
Oh, right. That's true.
Yeah, I came to New York. Like, finally, I found where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah, you're from Ohio.
Yeah. But I came to New York like, well, this place is here. This is obviously where I'm supposed to live.
Right.
So, but now I'm kind of back there. I'm back in Ohio.
Right. So I could see how that feels normal.
And we're talking about Suffern, New York. Mm-hmm. And
but it's a great town. But yes, we are. I feel like an outsider.
Right. There's no arts culture there. We're the only artists really in the entire town. And they're so out of it. I'm not on their Wikipedia page, but they have some announcer that was on there naked in the news. woman TV announcer is there. Representative of nudity for the town.
And oh, that's funny. So you think you're a little under the radar there?
Definitely.
That's nice.
Yeah.
It's like there's no...
That's great.
In a way, it's kind of like there's
that's
not
great.
Really any curiosity about that, about us in the art world.
Good.
It's just like we're, you know, it's not like... I don't think anyone's really judging us. They just don't really give a flying fruitcake.
Yeah, and if you go to their house, it's fucking wholesome, man. I'm telling you. we need some of that.
But I am surrounded by the three churches, but
right.
Recently
it's a weird vibe. It's a funny vibe.
Yeah,
recently in Bodø up in Norway, a reverend posed for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I thought
what
that was pretty
point
wild.
Of view on that?
I asked him if he writes a sermon or to send it to me, or if he, you know,
that's
if he could
great.
Write his feelings about the work, and I haven't gotten right. that yet, but I'm going to remind him.
Well, I think, you know, your work, one of the many like really meaningful things about your work is that it really does separate that idea of nudity and sexuality, and then nudity as inclusion, and you're normalizing nudity.
Exactly.
Which we need, which is so
it's
great.
It's putting it in a place really... where it's another place for it. But remember the rabbi asked us to donate a work for their fundraiser for the preschool. So the girls went to a Jewish preschool, and the rabbi wanted a work that, you know, they asked the community members to donate something. Somebody has a business. So we donated. Right. So, you know, you never know.
I think we
underestimate people. Like, people are cool usually. I mean, if they understand it and if you explain it to them, they get it. And it's not as edgy or provocative as...
Well, they also have the benefit of meeting you guys first and seeing that, you know, you're a really solid family and, you know, you guys are, you know, really functional and normal and not scary. Right? So they see
you... We're very
functional. Well, as any family
is. No, I know. We are. Yes.
You pull it off. I've seen it.
No, we do. We pull it off.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know. So anyway, back to you guys. So have I told you a story about how I my first impression of you as a couple?
No, I don't think so.
I think I never told you that. Okay. So this is my first impression, kids, of Spencer and Christy as a couple. I had been aware of Spencer's work and I was, you know, totally in awe and enamored with it, but I had never met him. So this was in the 90s, I guess. And I remember being at Max Fish with my friend Margot, and the two of you were sitting at a table signing prints for somebody, for a group of people that had been in your shoot. You had a table set up and people were coming there to pick up the prints, which was payment for them posing naked at an earlier date. Did you do that a lot? That was
Max Fish was the place we would pick, and the owner, Uli, would always open up early for us.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd give her a print as a thank you and also a print to all the bartenders.
Yeah. That's so nice. So, and it was I used to go there after work, so it's probably in the earlier side. But anyway, I remember sitting there and looking at you guys and thinking, oh, wow, there's that guy, Spencer Tunick. Oh, he's giving out those prints, those lucky people. And then I looked at Christy. And I said, oh, my God, she's so beautiful. And she looks, like, intelligent, beautiful. And I just thought to myself, figures a guy like Spencer would have such a fabulous babe.
That is so nice. Aww.
I have that image
that's
of
awesome.
You guys in my mind. I really, really do. And I was like, that's girl.
Thank
figures.
You.
And then I remember when I met you personally, Spencer was in a Tower Records. Do you remember that?
I might remember
that. I don't know if you would. See, you made a big impression on me, of course, because you were in the news and stuff like that, you know, because you were getting arrested 5 times. And I remember being in a Tower Records and going over to you because I knew who you were and you were just looking at records or something. And that's how we met. That's how we started talking. And you were super nice. And you gave me one of your cards. And, you know, that's how we met. But anyway, so I'm bringing that up because I want to find out. I don't know if I've ever heard the story of how you two met.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I was with my friend Matt Cohn, and we were walking on St. Mark Street, and I saw Kristen walk by.
I was going back to work. I was at lunch, and I was going back to work.
And at the time, I would find people who I wanted to pose for me in my individual portraits,
right?
Not my groups, by approaching people, men and women. At bars, at cafes. I mean, I wouldn't approach everyone, but if I saw someone that
was before your groups. That
right.
was before
That's
you were
what
even
I said.
Doing
oh, you were
groups.
Doing
yeah.
individual.
So I saw Kristen, and I was like, I knew what she would look like in my works. And then I gave her my card. I forgot to ask her that it was to tell her it was nude. I told her I just wanted to photograph her. I think she was, to me, she was so beautiful that I completely forgot to ask her that it was nude. She never called me. She never called me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went back to Matt and I said, I just met someone that I know I could marry.
Wow.
And I said, let's play a little game. Let's see who we could find on the street that we could spend the rest of our lives with, and we'll just say I'm married, you know, when mm-hmm. we see that person walking towards
us. That's hilarious.
So he found maybe one person. I couldn't find anyone. And that lasted for around 10 minutes. And then she disappeared. I saw her a year later at a party. And then I asked her again if she wanted to pose for me, and gave her my information, and she never contacted me. Oh. And then a year after that, this is 2 years later, I saw her at another party, but this time...
We were going to all the same parties.
Yeah.
But this so you had friends in common, no?
Yeah, I guess so. No. Yeah, I mean, there was overlapping.
Yeah,
there was
definitely, well, you know, the world was a little smaller, right, and you artsy people.
No friends in common, just there happenstance. Was, I would have met her a lot sooner.
Those parties that we were both going to, those pseudo parties.
Right.
Oh, the pseudo parties.
Yeah, so we were going to those parties.
What's his name? He has the same last.
Josh Harris.
Josh Harris. Yes. My brother's name is Harris.
And
that's
so
Claire.
Then,
yeah. So we were going to those parties, and we kept seeing each other there.
And then I actually took her number. At least I could call her. Mm-hmm. And of course, I never heard from her. Mm-hmm. And then but I had a show up at the time, and I invited her to go, and her boyfriend.
Oh,
at
you
the
had
time.
A boyfriend?
So my boy, yeah, I had a boyfriend.
Of course.
So my boyfriend actually took me to this show. He said, you have to see this work. I want to mm-hmm. take you to this show.
Mm-hmm.
And so he took me to that show, and it was like in a Framers or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I went into that show, and it was like I caught my breath. I was like, mm-hmm. it took my breath away,
mm-hmm.
and it kind of challenged me and scared me, and it made me think to myself, could I ever do that? Would I ever do something like that? But I didn't know it was you, the guy who'd been asking me. Somehow that wasn't coming together for me. It was just my boyfriend showed me this work.
Right.
And I loved it. It was mm-hmm. this black and white. It was so, had so much humor and humanity mm-hmm. in it. It was Spencer's early works. Mm-hmm. It was like a fairy tale in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so we both loved it. And then I don't know, you asked somehow.
I asked her if she wanted to see more of my work.
He called me from that.
I had no intention of marrying her or dating her. Uh-huh. I just wanted to photograph her at the time. But then I started to enjoy her personality. And then I didn't get around to photographing her. We just got around to hanging out and doing things together somehow.
So you started out as friends?
Right.
Yeah.
It was just friends. And you had a boyfriend, Christy? So
yeah.
What were you like, oh, this is my new friend, Spencer?
Well, that was ending.
Yeah, right. This is my new friend.
No, that was ending.
That ended.
And she was kind of seeing a magician and me.
Yeah, it was a choice.
That was the choice.
You're kind of like a magician. That sounds redundant.
And we're actually...
It was.
Chrissy is still, and we're still very friendly with her ex-boyfriend.
The ex-boyfriend.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good sign.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, he came over a few nights ago.
Yeah, yeah, because he was probably a great guy, too.
Yeah. He is.
Right.
So, yeah, so that
worked
out.
So what were you thinking, Christy?
Oh,
what were you thinking?
Like,
what
was
the first time when you met him? Were you like, this is just another guy, I mean, that wants to take pictures of me naked?
What did your family call me?
Oh, yeah. Do you really want me to say?
Sure.
The porn king.
That's good. I like that.
Oh, God.
Well, they're from Ohio, folks.
Yeah, but my parents are so liberal. So,
Well, they hadn't seen work. I mean,
so they hadn't seen work.
They hadn't seen work.
What does he do? He takes pictures of naked people.
Spencer really changed the conversation. His work really changed the conversation. So they weren't really used to it.
Exactly. And what does this guy do that you're seeing? He takes pictures of naked people. It was a joke, the porn king, but it was like, you know, of course, some truth to it.
Well, they have to laugh.
Right.
Which is actually a good sign because it does make. Spencer, you and I have this in common. We want to make people feel really uncomfortable to some degree.
Yeah.
Yeah, I sometimes...
I mean, not in a mean... Well, you're nicer than... I don't know.
No, but it is. It's true. It's pushing things and not having to always...
Yeah, sometimes I really do enjoy putting people on the spot, which is really hostile and passive-aggressive. I don't think you're like that, so I'm going to own that. But that's okay. I'm an angry... Whatever. It doesn't matter. We're not comparing here. We're not comparing. So this is about you. I got my own problems, for sure. So... what was I going to say? So anyway, so Christy, what were you thinking? What the fuck were you thinking?
This guy approached me on the street, and well, that's what you did kind of back then. You didn't like
we didn't
Tinder.
Have Instagram.
But no, but I wasn't looking for you as a date.
I know.
Just, yeah.
Did you know that? I mean, you're a gorgeous woman, and you've always been a gorgeous woman.
I mean,
so you must have had a ton of guys approaching you.
No.
Really?
I'm not. No.
Because you also are not. Because you're also not a, like one of those girls that are like there to make guys feel good about themselves.
The nude body today is so prevalent through social media, you know, and the internet that... to find someone to pose back then, if you weren't part of any sort of art student league mailing list that you would get in the mail, or there was just no place to find people to be nude in your art. Now it's, you know, everyone is getting naked for everyone.
But you, I mean, the truth is we all know that you had a lot to do with that. I mean, it's true. It's true. Read an art history book. It's going to be saying that. I mean, if it doesn't say it now, we'll.
It's in our visual vernacular right now, the naked body in public.
Yeah.
And also even in mass. People forget that even though it's legal in New York State to be nude in art, if you get a permit. And some would argue if you don't get a permit in almost every other state, you could be arrested. And it's a violent crime in some states. That's what was one of the charges against me, creating a violent act, that was against me. That was one of my charges, but the body is sort of an explosion outside of, New York State.
That's what I'm kind of,
you know, everyone thinks they're in this wonderful open bubble when it comes to the body and art in New York. And because of Instagram, you feel like the world is free. But actually, the body in art, naked, without clothing, is under attack.
I believe it. No, people are really freaked out by nudity, having been naked. I've done a few things.
Yeah, you've done
well,
it.
You posed in 1996.
I know. That was 1996.
But also in her own
I posted
work.
The image
I know.
On
I
Instagram.
Posted it on my Facebook page.
Great.
So I want to get this on-air read now, because if I don't, Tom, who runs the station director will yell at me, and I'll be embarrassed. I'm supposed to see him on Sunday at our meeting.
Go for it.
Okay, so there's two things I want to tell you about. One thing is I want you... First of all, thank you for listening to Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit. I'm here with Spencer Tunick and Kristen Bowler, and we're talking about Spencer's work. Anyway, so let me tell you about, first of all, you've got to help us out because we're trying to get on a panel at South by Southwest. So go to our radiofreebrooklyn.org, SXSW, and vote for us, okay? It doesn't cost anything. We're not asking you for a lot. We do a lot for you. Help us out, okay? And then the other thing is, I'm really proud of this, but our host of Ben Talks, he's a really popular host, he's doing a live show, okay? And that's on September 10th, my brother's birthday. Maybe we'll mention my brother there. It starts at 9, and it's at Pine Box Rock Shop at 12 Grattan Street, which is right around here. He's going to do kind of a live version of his own show, which is super popular and fun, and it's free. It's free. It's fucking free. So bring a date. Bring a Tinder date, because it won't cost you anything. And then it'll be really rowdy. So if you just want to leave and you can't stand the person you're with, you can just bail out. So anyway, I just want to finish this topic. So Christy, just tell us a little bit about what it was like meeting Spencer a little bit and your ideas about dating him in the beginning.
Okay.
Like,
well,
did you remember him from year to year like he remembered you?
Yes. And I always use this word. He was earnest. And Spencer... As I got to know him, you know, he was always somebody who it was unusual that whatever he said, he actually did.
Reliable guy. There we go to that conservative, normal guy again.
And I had been with someone who was so all over the place and never where he was supposed to be ever, not even one time.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like, wow, this is what it's like to be normal.
Ah, That's great. That's
what's not
great.
Normally who I would be pulled towards.
Right.
Or attracted to.
So did you
to.
Guys get, when you started going out, what did things happen pretty quickly? Cause
no.
No?
Nothing happens quickly for me. It takes me so long to figure somebody out.
So what happened?
We just started spending time together, and Spencer kept asking me to do stuff. And then I said, well, I'm not sure if this guy wants to see me naked or if he wants to date me. So maybe I'll just... But he was so nice, and he kept inviting me to really cool things.
Yeah.
Like, you invited me to the Diane Arbus play that was at the Public Theater.
Wow.
That was super cool.
Wow.
And I don't know. It was
a
like...
A demolition derby?
Yeah.
Upstate New York?
Yeah, like the Orange County Fair. Yeah. Just fun, weird, quirky stuff that I love.
Wow.
But it was always great because it was during the day, and I had been living this kind of like, well, I was working a normal 9-to-5 job, but the people I was surrounding myself with were musicians, so they were up all night.
Right, right, right.
And I was like, wow, this guy, he's awake during the day.
Normal guy.
That's so cool.
Stable.
But
That's so cool.
But I would get up at hundreds of sunrises.
Yeah,
to
he
make
got up
my
a little
work.
Too early.
So I would make my work in New York.
Really? Oh,
before
right,
sunrise
right.
Would
yeah,
rise.
Right. Yeah, right. I remember that because
so
I was.
Even
there.
Though I was off kilter, I was normal. I was a little bit off kilter as far as like.
Definitely. It was like
getting up early.
But he was like.
I want to be odd.
He was a worker. He was like a person who was working hard to be an artist.
Right, right.
Not just talking about being an artist.
Right.
But like, I could see so much ambition in him and passion.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just amazed. Like, this is a person that's taking it very seriously.
Right, 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 right. And another thing I want to tell you guys that I particularly have always respected so much about Spencer is that he's not full of shit in that, like, he really just did the work and made it up himself. And he didn't get, like, the MFA and do the whole... He's really on his own path, not on any kind of prescribed stupid, sorry, I'm cynical about this, stupid artist career path. And
yeah,
I did apply, but I decided not to go.
I had already done a year at the International Center of Photography, and my instructor was Robert Blake, and history photography was Sam Samore. Shows with team, and so I kind of like, and I was just hanging out with so many artists, and I was in the soup, you know what I mean? I was in the mix,
right.
And so I was like, I know what I want, you know, I know the artists that I love: Rebecca Horn, Robert Smithson, Yayo Kusama, Carly Schneeman. I know exactly what I want, you know. I knew that going to school with I would have been connecting to a lot of other artists my own age that would have elevated me. Even possibly past the state I am now.
Yeah,
and
of course.
It would have helped me out. And teachers. And,
yeah.
But
you went on your own path.
I also love,
and this is true. I mean, the way I remember it, you've been influenced a lot by your dad, right? Didn't you? I don't think a lot of people know this about you. And I find this personally like fascinating. And it's so like, so normal and working, like normal working class people. Like your father took pictures in the Catskills, right?
Right. It was, I was more, not so much his personality, just more access to cameras and equipment. So he was a photographer in the Catskill Mountains, and he owned photography concessions where the concession was made up of selling hotel guests these little keychain plastic viewers.
We have one of my parents, right.
And so he had a bunch of college students and people working for him in different hotels, and they would stand as the guests would go into the nightclub or into dinner, and then overnight they would process the slide film and sell it to all the guests in the morning. And so as they would go in for their breakfast, all these little keychain viewers would be on sale, and that was my summer job for my whole, you know, high school and college existence.
Right. But I love how you learn photography from using it with people in a practical, applied manner, not in some kind of crazy, wild way. Like you really you really, like, you don't have all that crap around your work. It's just very real.
I had thousands of
appreciate that.
I had thousands of you know, Jews coming towards me. I'm Jewish, all hungry, waiting to eat their dinner. And I had to stop 1,000 people and take their photographs. And that was my job. And so imagine that stopping 1,000 individual people. And sometimes I was the only one photographing as 1,000 people would come at me. And I would actually photograph 1,000 group, you know, 1,000 people.
Individually. Maybe
not individual, but small families, okay. Big families. Yeah. And I would not let anyone pass me.
So like 800 pictures of 1,000 people or something like that, which makes so much sense. So I just love that influence on your work. And maybe, right. I don't even know if you can see it anymore, but I can.
It's the force.
Yeah, like, only if I could get all these Jews together.
It's the force felt in your blood.
Yeah. So,
I want you guys to know, so this is like, this is another corny bullshit thing. Not bullshit, it's real. But so this is my perception of you guys over the years. So my perception of your relationship in general is you two as a couple, okay? So I don't know how to, well, so Spencer is, I'm telling you guys, I'm not talking to them. Spencer is so madly, madly in love with Christy. And you can just, you can just tell. Like, you can just fucking tell. He can't, it's so apparent. And it's rare that, this is my perception, it is rare that I have seen that in a couple where it seems so alive through so many years. Is that true?
Well,
is there truth in that? Am I right about that?
It's more one way. It's more one way, my way towards her. But her perception and love for me, Christy likes me. She loves that she likes me.
Well, I think that you're just like somebody who has just that in you to put that out there. I don't think everybody does. I think that, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? I think... It's obviously that Christy loves
you,
you dearly
but
and deeply, but she's just
butt
not,
as in
she's just not,
your butt
yeah.
or butt.
Let me tell
as
you
in,
something.
I've got
like,
something else
when
to say.
When you guys are together as a couple, I'm sure it's like Christy managing, like making the small talk and making everything. You're the big like, bleh. She's like the articulate one. No, you're very articulate. You're very articulate. I didn't mean that. You know what I mean.
Let's talk about Kristen.
That's so true.
So I was in Kinko's creating my invitations for my large-scale works, my first two, by taking an 8x10 and then handwriting, please show up at the United Nations naked at this time on this summer. And that was my invitation. And she was a wonderful graphic designer and started designing my... invitations for me to hand out on the streets to get people nude, and she changed my whole presence, and they were beautiful.
Because you had a nice girl.
I had a beautiful offset printed limited edition flyers that were
because she made
very
flyers.
Conceptual.
They looked like
I remember them very well, and I remember
like, you know, like a ransom note before I designed them. They were just like scrawled, and then like. You know, like handwriting before.
I remember asking you about that, Spencer, now that you're bringing it up, because I remember you saying that Christy designed them. They were beautiful.
And then we decided to jump in a van and travel to every state in the United States together and do a nude in every state. And Kristen did a watercolor in every state. And that was a collaboration.
Wow.
And that was in 97.
And that was another thing he said, that we're going to go do this trip. And I'm like, really? Okay. And then it happened.
That went well. Yeah. And then I had
An amazing documentary about it. I love this documentary.
It's called Naked States. And it's actually, it won the best documentary film at AFI Film Festival. And it was actually an independent documentary that was acquired by HBO. Everyone thinks it's an HBO documentary.
They made it on their own.
Yeah.
I felt like that documentary really expressed what it was like for you guys to work together. Do you Do you feel that way about it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always
do you feel like it captured it.
Well, at that time, I was kind of like, I don't want to be on screen, and this is your thing, and I was trying to find my own way of being in the world, and not just like the sidekick,
right?
You know, and that's
I know, I love that about it. So it does, you don't come off as like a girl trying to help.
Yeah, I'm always like, go ahead, say what you want to say.
Yeah,
and
right.
Now we're doing
I'm
a lot.
Tired. I don't need to be on camera. Go away.
Right.
And now we're doing a lot more. Collaborations. Chrissy started painting four or five years ago, and now she's suddenly become this blossoming film painter.
Absolutely.
And so we're doing shows where she'll paint an image of a woman's head or a multiple of women's heads, and I'll put them on people's bodies. So it'll be a photograph of her painting with people holding her painting. And we did a work at the Republican National Convention together. And so we're doing a lot of
in protest. Not
I want to, you know what, honestly, I want to talk about this project. Everything she says means everything, but I really want to talk about it. So I'm waiting. This is what I'm doing, guys. I'm waiting. But we only have 15 minutes left, so I'm going to, like, give you... I'm going to, like, end the show, do my homework, what I have to do here, the station ID, and then I want to just talk about that, and then we'll run it till it runs out, okay?
Cool.
So the next 5 minutes are just... We're going to talk about that in detail, in a lot more detail, but you guys have traveled so extensively together, right? Have you?
Yes. Yeah. We raised money by pre-selling prints before Kickstarter, to family members and young collectors. And we funded our works by our traveling, by saying, when we come back, we'll show you what we've made and we'll print a bigger one for you. And so we pre-sold our works. And that's how we did our journey around the United States to every state and also to every continent later, which our project was called New to Drift. And then we went to every continent and 30 countries. And that was our next traveling project. And we haven't done a traveling project again. And then we tried to think, well, how many counties are there in New York? We'll just stay in New York.
Do you feel like you've seen the world?
Definitely. We've been everywhere.
Do you have a sense of the world?
I mean, not everywhere, but we've really been lucky.
Feel like you have a sense of the world, right?
Yes.
Because you've really gone places and interacted with people in a very... that was another thing I wanted to point out that I think is really important for people to know, that the process of the work is it more important, as important as the product, or...
It was a shoestring budget, our travels. You know, we would... Mm-hmm. When we were in the van, we would sleep behind churches and in front of coffee shops and then use the showers in the bathrooms and the coffee shops to wash in the morning. I mean, we were really low budget. Mm. And then staying in hostels and people's places on our trip around the world. So we're not going in luxury.
No, but, obviously. It was tough.
But the process, you're saying, is the process part of it?
Well, the process to me, you know, seems so like what you guys, the experience that you have making the work, it involves large groups of people all over the world. I mean, is so... How does that, like, what is that more meaning? I mean, I don't even know how to ask the question.
Well, sometimes a museum will put out a book of the stories of the participants, or sometimes I more extensively document the pre-organization. And now with social media, the hashtag, giving the work a hashtag, enables people that participate to post photographs about their anticipation visually and also with words, but also an aftermath of that. Right. So the process now, because of social media, is becoming more prevalent in my work. If you go to...
Wait, let me just, because we're so short on time, I just want, the question I really want to know is, to you personally, like the experience that you, the lives that you've lived of all the traveling and being around people... I'm just saying, from your point of view as people making the work, so that experience of actually making the work has to be, there's two things you're doing. You're making the work, and then you have this amazing product. So I picture that the actual experience of making the work is even bigger or more. I mean, it sounds more exciting even than the actual product in
a way.
Well,
I'll say that we have this opportunity doing what we do, and Spencer by himself doing it, and when I'm with him, mm-hmm. of coming into a person's life or a person coming into our lives on this really vulnerable, intimate way that's mm-hmm. non-sexual. But
right.
like they are just so opened up in that
right.
moment by doing this thing that they would not normally do.
Right.
And in that moment, we're opened up too. And so there's this very meaningful exchange, and it's
right.
unique.
Right.
And there's people that we remember from so long ago, but we never talk to them again.
Mm-hmm.
But we connected with them on such a deep level
mm-hmm.
from that experience. And it was mm-hmm. you're doing something like bungee jumping,
mm-hmm.
you know, like
mm-hmm.
running out in the middle of your town
mm-hmm.
naked.
Mm-hmm.
Your adrenaline is going and you're like so alive.
Mm-hmm.
And we've experienced that with Spencer, with thousands and thousands and thousands of people.
All over the world. Does it change a lot from country to country, or is there a commonality being with people that way?
Well, the people that come out to pose are, 83-year-old hipsters to young, conservative, semi-conservative doctors to mm-hmm. social workers. It's just this unbelievable amount of people that aren't nudists, and they're not, mm-hmm. they're really into contemporary art, and they're into participating in it. Which is a very rare thing mm-hmm. in this art world that we're both in, is to be a participant.
Mm-hmm.
The process, of course, is very democratic. And then mm-hmm. when I exhibit the works, democracy ends. But I still have that same passion
yeah.
for the action of making it and all the stories mm-hmm. as I do for the individual photographs mm-hmm. afterwards. I mm-hmm. really am crazy about the final
yeah,
product.
I mean,
and
that's
the
yeah.
print and the object is mm-hmm. fascinating to me, and mm-hmm. to see that, to know that all these objects and that all these people also own, and to think where they're placing these artworks mm-hmm. that I give them for posing, but also the bigger works that I print and how they change a space and how they create conversations, whether it's in a gallery or museum or someone's home. That's always fascinating to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, that helps me really understand that. So I'm going to do the last station ID, and thank you for listening to Radio. This is my homework, Radio Free Brooklyn. Download our app. We have a phone app, so you can get it on your phone, radiofreebrooklyn.org/Android/iPhone. How's that? Did I do all the homework right? I think so. And I also, before we forget, I want to make sure that you guys know that you can go to SpencerTunick.com or KristenBowler.com. All the information is on my Facebook page, and I'll be reposting it again. So now let's get to... So, folks, Spencer has so many projects, and there's this one project that we want to reflect on called Everything She Says Means Everything, which was a nude, which was done at the Republican National Convention in Cleveland in 2016. And it has really stuck with these guys. So I want to talk to them about it. So let's talk about it.
Okay. Well, it was kind of when all this stuff was happening.
The Republican National Convention.
When Trump was getting, like, it was, stuff was happening.
And
it
no
was,
one thought he was going to win
right,
then, right?
But it was getting me very nervous, and everyone. And I kept seeing Trump signs popping up here and there, and I would be losing sleep. And I woke up one morning and I said, we have to do something. I mean, we're artists. We have a voice. This is what we do. I don't know what else we're going to do, because the only thing we can do is what we have is to make art.
Unbeknownst to her, I was planning this with people. I was planning a action at the Republican National Convention right when it was announced that it uh-huh. was in Cleveland, and mm-hmm. before Trump, we even knew Trump would win. We didn't. Mm-hmm. I didn't.
Yeah, of course.
And I wanted. It was more about sort of a pushback against the Republicans' rhetoric on women and their rights, and also, and then that turned into, when Trump was the nominee and Pence, that turned into sort of a rally against them, and also it became about women's rights and also about different ethnicities. And then Kristen and I decided to create the website and the identity, which is the website SpencerTunickCleveland.com. And there we have documentation and a short 4-minute video documentary. And we were actually out there protesting before everyone was protesting. In fact, I thought of a way how to get closer than any of the protesters in Cleveland to the convention center. They were keeping the protesters 2.5 miles away.
Wow.
And I figured out a way, sort of a secret strategy, with a punk rock film location scout in Cleveland.
Wow, really?
He used to run the punk rock film festival. And now he's doing managing film sets for Fast and Furious films. And so he's like the Cleveland film location guy. And I needed that person in order to infiltrate close to the convention center. So we found some property right underneath the convention center across the river that no one thought that anyone would be using. Because the river is really thin.
So you really
We were there.
Yeah.
The news agency saw these amazing 100 women shining, reflecting these large mirrors against
over
the convention
their faces.
Center.
So they were naked with all the mirrors sort of in where their heads would be, but they were really big mirrors,
right?
Round mirrors.
They were also above their heads and below their heads, but really kind of shining this light against the convention center. And then I documented some works, and actually 1,800 women signed up for the location for the project, but only
we only had 100 mirrors.
Yeah, which I raised the money for, like I did my old school works, where I sold some prints in order to raise money.
So you could only have 100, but there was a real enthusiasm.
Right. The the FBI showed up, the Coast Guard Strike Force, the police, and they were all let us do the work, didn't arrest us.
One of the things that I really love, if you go to the website, I'm rushing here, and it's obvious, but one of the things I love about the website is that you really have some beautiful quotes from all the women. You really highlight the women as individuals and like what was in their mind. And the video, which is also posted on my Facebook page, really talks about, you really get the feeling of why these women are there. And each one is really individual, and each one is really poignant and important and moving. And you know what you were talking about earlier, your experience of being with those people, kind of you get a taste of that when you go to the website. So I'm gonna say that we have a minute and a half left, and I just wanted to make sure that I could get like a few words from you guys about how that project's relevant now, or how you feel looking back on it now, because the times have changed so much.
When I look at the video now, I see everyone's concerned about the same issues, and that now everyone's protesting. And we were out there, in the beginning protesting, and we feel real good about it. We feel really good that we were out there, not first, but just out there in a big way, against this Republican ideology and against Trump and Pence.
Well, you know, I also took a quote from something Christy said on the video, and I'm looking for where I wrote it down, but it was something like, here it is, we dropped a pebble in the water and it will make ripples.
Yeah, that's
and
how
so
I feel.
You felt like you got something and you started, you put it out there, and now it's really, really grown.
Yeah, giving all those women a voice, like you said. Thank
We're
you
just waiting for the date of the next... the next conventions, should we do a work at the Democratic convention or the Republican convention to reinforce the spirit of the Democrats?
Keep going, keep doing
or
it.
Or to rally against the Republicans?
That's a good one. I don't know. Maybe you guys can write in on that, okay? At Dr. Lisa Levy SP. And stay tuned, because